We're reading from Acts 10 this morning, preparation for the passage. I like the title of the message this morning, Rise Up and Walk in the Resurrection. Acts 10. And Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Blessings, Randy, as you minister to us.
Good morning. Let us begin with a word of prayer. We're so grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together this morning as your body, Lord. We're grateful this morning for the fact that we serve a risen Lord. And we pray as we study this text in Acts, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, would it shape us, would it form us as we are on this journey of becoming more like you, Jesus. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's so good to see everyone here, and I want to make a special note of the families of Corey and Kristen this morning. So glad that you guys are here, too. Last night around the campfire, we were talking about how do we become who we are? And we've been studying the last 40 days this journey of becoming more like Christ, and thinking about maybe what has to burn away, what has to die in order for new life to come this resurrection morning. And how do we become who we are? And one of the consistent things that we talked about was the importance of families that we have. And so, thank you for being here as Corey and Kristen baptize this morning. And the cool thing about family is that the church is a family. Actually, some people say the church is our first family. Jesus kind of redefines family a little bit. And so we are all the family of God here this morning. We had a really awesome morning this morning at the Kaufman Fruit Farm. And it was really good to be gathered together there as well. And this is just continuing in that worship. This story in Acts maybe isn't what you were expecting for Easter Sunday, but it's not the traditional reading of the Easter story, but this story in Acts is just loaded with resurrection. It's loaded with the gospel story in a nutshell. It brings it all together. The book of Acts in general is just this really amazing narrative of how we see the church beginning. If you want to know what the early church looks like, look at the book of Acts. You see this picture of people gathering together in homes, in small groups, eating together, sharing in the Lord's Supper together, mutual aid for one another. Okay, so we see a picture of the church and serving one another and loving one another because that's what Christ did first for them. So we see this beautiful picture of the church in Acts. And honestly, here we are 2,000 years later, but we're right, we're trying to do some of the same things. But we learn of how the church develops in the book of Acts. And this book of Acts describes miracles that Jesus has done. And in the book of Luke, and it moves us right into Acts. You can combine Luke and Acts together. They go hand in hand. And then in Acts, we see how the group of people are following in the example that Jesus set. And it's in these verses in Acts that Peter declares the gospel to witnesses. Are you ready for it? Here's the heart of God's story that Peter tells us. So listen up. First, Jesus of Nazareth was anointed and chosen by God. He received the Holy Spirit at baptism. And with its power, Jesus goes around doing good and healing those who are oppressed. Jesus brings healing to us and to the world. And it doesn't stop there, it keeps going. Jesus was put to death, dying on a tree. God raised him up on the third day, and he appeared to a chosen few. And everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And verse 36 kind of brings it all together. Jesus is Lord of all. We had this beautiful picture on our bulletin with the visual this morning. Lord of all. That's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ that leads us into the presence of a loving God. The gospel is simple, according to Peter here. It's the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And the context that Peter is working within here shows us what God is up to in this gospel. That this really boils down to a gospel of reconciliation. Reconciliation with God, reconciliation with ourselves, reconciliation with others, and reconciliation with all of creation. It's the picture in the beginning in Genesis, the picture of shalom and God's intention for the world, and we see that best in Jesus. And here in this story in Acts, Peter gets it. He gets the gospel is about reconciliation and about two groups that normally would be very separate, Jew and Gentile. God is bringing together in the gospel story. That's the context here, the reconciliation that this Jesus is up to and the early church is trying to walk in. And so let's look at that context a little bit. Peter begins by saying, I truly understand. God shows no partiality. In every nation, anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to God. Within this context of Acts 10, it becomes evident that Peter needed to be reminded of who God is. That God is this God bringing together of reconciliation, of enemies. Peter's catching the vision of the gospel. We're told in this story a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion, is described as devout and God-fearing. We read in verses 1 to 2. And based on the vision that he has received from the Lord, Cornelius summons Peter. Meanwhile, Peter is receiving a vision of his own concerning what he could and could not lawfully eat. And Peter arrives at Cornelius' home and informs him, you yourself know that it is unlawful for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a foreigner. But God is showing me something. God's doing something in my heart. The Spirit's at work and I have to act on it. God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. This is the work of the gospel. This is the work of Jesus and the cross and the resurrection, bringing together enemies. Peter didn't probably want to associate with a foreigner, someone who was different. However, here in front of Cornelius and the family and friends that he had gathered in his home, Peter declares God to be a God of reconciliation, a God that is impartial. And although Peter may have had previous prejudices, God did not. Like Peter, it seems that we too need that reminder sometimes, that we can lose sight of the heart of the gospel story of reconciliation. And so what happens here in this beautiful gospel story? Testimony happens. Testimony happens. Verse 42, Peter testifies. He shares the good news. And it's through the testimony that those who come to believe will know that their sins are forgiven. It's a beautiful picture here of getting the heart of the gospel and seeing what God is up to, this vision of reconciliation, and saying, I'm not going to be quiet about it. I'm going to testify about it. I'm going to share it. As we celebrate this morning Easter and resurrection, we're also celebrating baptisms and testimonies. Corey and Kristen each have a very powerful story and testimony. And they're going to publicly declare their desire to follow Jesus and to be a part of this church. And I think this morning, as we celebrate Easter and the resurrection of our Lord, we are also reminded as well of our baptisms, of our testimonies, of the new thing that God is doing in each of us. The beautiful thing about baptism is it's actually a time for all of us to think back. And if you have not received baptism, it's an opportunity to prayerfully discern how God may be speaking in your life about baptism. And an early Anabaptist said something unique and important about testimony, about resurrection. They had this common phrase, the early Anabaptists, if you read back to the 16th century, 17th century, they said, we're called as followers of Jesus to walk in the resurrection. To walk in the resurrection. That's part of our testimony. It's not just words. The early Anabaptists said, we have to live it out. We have to walk it. It has to be embodied in the church. And if you study 16th century Reformation, you were realizing that was a unique thing of the early Anabaptists that said, how are we following Jesus? How are we walking in the new thing that God is doing? How is that our testimony as well? They would often say, you will know that you are a follower of Jesus by how we see them living. It's embodied. It has to be walked out. One of the things we did in our baptism preparation classes is we looked at a little bit of history. And if you have any questions about Anabaptist history, now you can ask Corey and Christine, and they will be able to answer it all for you. We're all learning together. That's the beautiful thing. But this idea of walking in the resurrection, how do we do that together as the body of Christ? How do we do that together? Well, we do that by being in community. One of the things that we talked about in our class, again, that's so important to understand being a part of the Mennonite Church, is this understanding of community and the body of Christ. And that just as they will be asking for your support and for your accountability, you are now asking them to give support to them and accountability to them too, and to the body. It goes both ways. Community, we walk in the resurrection together. We testify to Jesus together in the church. Walking in the resurrection has everything to do with following Jesus. Following Jesus who is alive. And so then we have to look back to the teachings of Jesus. teaching such as, you have heard that it was said that you should love your neighbor. But I'm going a step farther. Don't just love your neighbor, but love your enemy as well. That's walking in the resurrection. Teaching such as service to one another and peacemaking, forgiveness. We've been talking about this theme of forgiveness as well. And we see these things embodied in our church. And I want to really affirm as well what Mia shared about her doing her MIP this summer, Ministry Inquiry Program. That is a picture of walking in the resurrection, I believe, because it's bringing together different groups, as Neil shared, that maybe normally would do things more separately. And it's a beautiful picture of four different groups that had to come together and financially support this program in order for a young adult to be able to do ministry internship in our congregation. That is a beautiful picture of the gospel and of God bringing together, I believe. That is walking in the resurrection together. Walking in the resurrection is eating a breakfast of mountain pies in an orchard with friends in the church who love Jesus and love one another. How else could it look like in your life, walking in the resurrection? Walking in the resurrection is doing the internal work of recognizing how we slow down and quiet our lives and allow God to speak, to listen to God. And we testify this morning that we serve a God who is alive. I'm so excited that we have baptism this morning. I was doing a little bit of history, and it turns out that the early church often had baptisms on Easter Sunday. It makes so much sense to me. Because if you think about baptism, the first part of baptism is kneeling down. It's this act of vulnerable self-giving up. It's this recognition that we are dying with Christ, that we are saying we need forgiveness of sins. It is this acknowledgement of our need for Jesus and for the community. And then there is this giving of the right hand and the words, rise up and walk in the resurrection of Jesus. Rise up and walk in new life here in this body called Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church. It makes sense that Easter and baptism go together. And this morning, we're going to celebrate that.